Hello there. Welcome to today's episode of the Leaner Stronger podcast. This is Coach Peter.
Coach Teresa.
In this episode of the Leaner Stronger podcast, we are going to bust the myth of quote-unquote bad foods. So if you're someone who has a bit of a sweet tooth, maybe a craving for salty foods, maybe you identify yourself as a foodie, you know, pretty much everyone who lives in Melbourne loves food because food is pretty awesome, and in other big metropolitan cities around the world. But you also want to improve your body composition. You want to feel as good as you can, and you want to look as good as you can. You might have this nagging feeling and this nagging sound in your head saying that when you eat particular foods, these foods are bad for you. And you can already hear the bells of hell clinging themselves when you're being judged upon on your last day, and they're going to list out all the bad foods that you've eaten, and these bad foods are going to be used as reasons why you don't get to hang on with the angels and instead you have to go to hell.
What a horrible fate.
What a horrible fate. I have good news for you. This is all bullshit. And in today's episode, we're going to really bust out why that's absolute bullshit, and we're going to give you some actually useful and valuable recommendations on when it comes to what kind of food choices to make, how often to make those things, and all that. Before we get to that, if you found the Leaner Stronger podcast to be valuable, would you please do us a favor and rate and review the podcast on whatever platform that you're consuming this information from, subscribe to the channel, leave us a comment, and share the podcast and the episodes that you found the most valuable with someone who you think would also benefit from them. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy life to do that. So, Coach, I ate some bad foods over the weekend. Right?
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
What are we going to say? What's my reaction?
Yeah, exactly. So many times, that happened so many times to you.
Like, all the time.
It's like, how was your weekend? And they're like, I was bad. Like, oh my God, what did you do? I had some bad foods. I was really unhealthy. Like,
yeah.
Okay.
He's like, cool, no worries.
Cool. That's yeah. It. How do we address that?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing, well, definitely for me anyway, is like just not giving the reaction.
Yeah.
Because I think a lot of people like are expecting like this reaction from you, and like that there's going to be a big, yeah, I guess a big spiel, and then you're going to put them down. But then when you kind of don't give that bad reaction, they're like, oh, what? Yeah, so like they're almost expecting it. So that's probably the first thing that I say. And then obviously we go down the track and we have a conversation about what you actually consumed, and then whether or not it really is like good or bad.
Yeah.
And then I guess we're going to keep talking about this in today's podcast. But yeah, like, why is it bullshit? Why do we tell our clients that, hey, this is what happened? Yes. But why is it not that really big of a deal there and then, and how can we work on it in the future?
Well, of course, the reason why this is absolute bullshit and there are no such things as bad foods is that when it comes to your health, it's always the bigger picture that's more important than what's happened in one meal. And you know this, like you just know this. You know that you don't get jacked and lean from going to the gym for one time, for even for a week, or eating really good foods, you know, the ones that make you get to hang out with angels. It just doesn't happen like that. It's always the average over time that's going to manifest itself as your body composition. What do you look like? What do you feel like? How do you perform on a daily basis? And just your overall health. It's the bigger picture is way more important.
Totally. Yeah. And I think when you put that into context, it's like, okay, hey coach, I ate really bad on the weekend. But if it was like, hey coach, I ate really bad Wednesday to Friday on the weekend, I had one good day, and then the cycle kind of keeps going and going almost every meal of the week. Okay, that's when we can start to kind of pull things apart a little bit more closely. But yeah.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think this where this comes from really is that there's a lot of, it's very polarizing. There's a lot of very polarizing nutrition information online. People pushing their own narrative, saying that the way in which I eat and these foods are really good for you. And then these particular foods that don't fit my narrative, they're really, really bad for you because of XYZ. And you can always find XYZ reasons to support pretty much whatever claim these days. And you can also find XYZ reasons why something is really bad. Like why something would be good for you and why something would be bad for you. So then because of that, like, we need to kind of step back and take a look at, like, okay, what are the principles? What are the bigger picture principles? And if we abide by those bigger picture principles, this, like, minutia, this is right, this is wrong, like, it just becomes a wash and it just doesn't matter. So what is the biggest principle?
So here? The biggest principle, and we say it almost every episode, is your calorie balance.
Yeah.
And we look at that over the space of a week and then over the space of perhaps a fortnight and a month. And so that one, you know, one day of bad food that you reported back to us, it definitely gets lost within that month of you sticking to your plan, sticking to your program, adhering to your calorie balance or your calorie deficit, whatever your specific goal is in that time.
Absolutely. Like, being in a calorie surplus and over consuming energy from the food that you eat, like, if that's your goal, if you want to really build muscle mass, you want to be in a calorie surplus, you have to be in a calorie surplus some amount of time, and that's not a big of a deal. But like, the way in which it becomes a problem is that if you start putting on excessive amounts of weight, now those it's the overall being in a too excessive calorie positive state that becomes toxic in and of itself. It increases inflammatory markers and inflammation all around your body. So now the entire context of your health becomes unhealthy. Whereas I think a good example would be then, like, think about your favorite athlete. Think about someone who's really athletic, they exercise a lot, they pay attention to their sleep. A lot of athletes don't, but someone who really, like, knuckles down on their sleep. Like, when they go out, like, if they go and eat a meal at McDonald's or even in KFC or whatever, that's not really that big of a deal because the totality, the big picture, they're expending so much energy through their athleticism and during their daily life. Like, even though they had this one meal that was extremely high in calories, it just doesn't make that big of a deal. They probably need to incorporate that at some point in time because otherwise they're not able to maintain their body weight if they only ate foods that are lower in calories. And like, really, really, the problem with that would be like, they're usually really satiating foods, so you just feel uncomfortably full and bloated all the time. So you have to eat a bit more processed foods that's more palatable and less satiating.
Yes. Absolutely, yeah. Like, it almost ends up being part of their strategy to be able to hit a certain amount of either macronutrients, yeah, or calories, so that their body has the nutrients and, well, not necessarily the nutrients, but I guess the energy that's required to be able to perform at such an elite level.
And nutrients, of course.
And nutrients, true. So, yeah, so we've talked about calorie balance. That's the biggest block in our importance, I guess, when it comes to body composition.
Exactly. And how does this relate to the bad foods? Is that, well, as long as it fits within the context of your overall calorie balance, then there's really no such thing as a blanket statement as bad foods.
Mm.
But there is individual difference between humans, of course. And it's totally possible to have some individual intolerances. You might be allergic, you might be intolerant to something,
mm-hmm,
and you know, like, if you then insist on eating these specific foods that cause allergic reactions to you or give you a variety of symptoms that we're going to talk about in a second. Now these foods, if you consume them still, they might be quote-unquote bad for you.
Mm.
But there's no such thing as blanket statement, this food is bad, right?
Absolutely. And I think any time that you kind of see somebody saying that this is a bad food, yeah, just have those little alarm bells should be ringing just a little bit.
So. Yeah, if you hear that, like, these foods are bad, these foods are good, it's like, well, for everyone? Really?
Mm.
Is that what, are you really saying that this is, like, really bad for everyone and I'm going to go to hell and not get to hang out with angels?
100%. And, you know, I think, like, the big ones that people often talk about are, like, gluten,
yeah,
dairy, soy, what else are we talking about here?
Plants, some people.
True.
Or meat products.
Yeah.
Or there's, the list is, like, endless. Sugar.
Yes.
Processed foods. The list is absolutely endless, but I think that's probably the most common ones.
Yeah, those extremes.
Yeah.
So then when would it be actually, like, beneficial for somebody to start looking into, okay, you know, I'm feeling all these symptoms. Maybe it is due to my gut or my dietary intake. What are we looking for if somebody can perhaps relate to that?
Yeah. Some specific symptoms that you should pay attention to that will help you to be a bit of a detective, right? 100% anything related to the gut, like bloating, gassiness, like loose stools. That's like absolute like alarm bells that, okay, something that I'm eating might not be sitting that well with me. If you experience GERD, like acid reflux, that's also a sign that something that I might be consuming on a daily basis is actually not sitting that well with me. Then some other ones that are a little bit less known is brain fog and just the inability to think clearly and feeling a little bit lethargic a couple hours after you've had a certain type of food. You had another example of, what did your client say about joint pain?
Yeah, and like, you know, in my practice, I try not to plant seeds into my clients' minds. They'll usually come to me and they'll, like, when they start working with me, they do become a little bit more attuned to, I guess, like, listening to their body. It's just something that naturally happens when you're training more, you're eating better.
Yeah.
You start to have a bit more of this, like, database of, okay, well, this day I ate this, the next few days actually, like, hey, Teresa, like, my joints are feeling not so great today. When we do the high plank shoulder taps, I'm actually feeling a little bit more wrist pain than I usually do. And then they start to kind of look at their symptoms a little bit closer and like, hey, actually, like, my sleep's not been very good. Like, I'm actually feeling a little bit more anxious than I do. And my gut feels like really inflamed, like bloaty. And they'll start to kind of do their own investigationing into how what they've eaten perhaps over the last week or even the last 24 to 48 hours is starting to impact not just their physical health, but also their mental health as well. And so I think that's when, you know, you can start to piece together your own, your own database of like what specific foods just maybe aren't right for me. And then from there, you can do like an elimination diet, or you can work with a practitioner who might be a little bit more specialized with those particular dietary symptoms.
Yeah. And a lot of people have a bit of a tolerance to these things. And you might find that like in certain amounts you can consume dairy, but if you consume it like breakfast, lunch and dinner, then things start to go into the wrong direction. And the same thing could be said for anything like gluten, especially. I think a lot of people have like a critical threshold of tolerance, and if you operate below that threshold level, not big of a deal, don't experience anything. But then if you go way above and beyond on the daily, exposing yourself to that thing that you're a little bit sensitive to, then you start experiencing those symptoms.
Mm. Do you find that there's one particular food group that it does have quite high alarm bells from a physiological perspective?
Yeah.
Your health?
Yeah, definitely. So I think the only one that we can, the only caveat to the quote unquote bad foods that are pretty much across the board not healthy for human consumption are highly hydrogenated oils. And what that basically means is oils that have been reused. First of all, usually these oils are seed oils, so they don't handle heat very well. When you expose these oils to high heats, they change their chemical composition and they become rancid. And these oils are usually the cheapest ones available, and they are the most commonly ones that are used in fast food restaurants, in deep frying your fries, in like doing pastries. And the best part is that these oils are usually reused for who knows, like for how long, for weeks and potentially even for months on end. These oils are just recycling. Already rancid oil is just kept used again and again and again. Yeah, that's the one thing that hasn't been around during the course of human evolution, and our body just hasn't evolved to deal with that thing particularly well. And pretty much across the board, when you have a better reference point, that's what it comes down to, is the reference point. Like when someone starts working with us initially, I have no problem with those foods. I can eat anything I want. Okay, we're 2 months into the journey. You've been training more, you've been sleeping more, and you've just been eating more. You've been paying more attention to the signals that your body is sending to you. You have a clearer reference point of what it feels like to not feel crappy and think better and think clearer and have more energy. And now it's usually at that point where people start telling you, like, oh, you know what I've noticed, like every time I go to that Chinese restaurant, I feel like shit for a couple of days.
100%.
Or every time I get KFC, man, it's like half an hour later I start getting this brain fog and I just feel crappy. Yeah, usually the common denominator is the highly hydrogenated oils that have been used in cooking that food.
100%. And you kind of know as well when you either walk past an establishment that uses like those sorts of oils, and you can tell that it's very rancid. Like you walk past the place or you walk into the place and you're like, this place does not smell okay. Like I know that when I consume this, I'm not going to feel all right.
That's it. It's that greasy smell, like the fast food McDonald's type of smell that you just... When you walk past the fast food restaurant, you know it because you can smell it, but you can't quite put your finger on it. Like, what is the smell that I'm smelling? It's definitely not the beef patties being grilled on the barbecue. You know, it's completely something else.
Yeah. Ugh, there's a horrible place on Swanston Street.
Mm.
Every time you walk past, it's like you get this feeling in your gut, like oh, it's pulsing. Wafting. Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah. Not good. So to put this into action, how do we actually eat in a healthy way in which the context of our diet and our health is considered to be healthy as opposed to unhealthy? And how do we fit these very palatable processed foods? How can we enjoy a little bit of that in the context of a healthy diet?
Well, we're huge advocates for the 80-20 rule.
Mm.
And
what does 80-20 rule mean?
Well, it's more so about, okay, within that 80% of your week, have you allocated enough calories to hitting your macronutrient targets to make sure that you're getting enough fiber into your diet, and as well giving your body those micronutrients that it can do to work at that cellular level to be able to repair from your workouts and be able to give your body enough energy so that you can do movement through the day, you can focus through the day, and that you're, I guess, training hard to give your body a stimulus strong enough to get to the body composition of your dreams. So I guess we can relate this to, for example, like your weekly budget, or you get your paycheck on a Monday and the money goes into your account. Let's say $1,000 flat. If you're looking at your budget in the most effective way, I don't think you're going to go and spend $800 on a Hermes belt or the newest Louis Vuitton wallet.
What about a Balenciaga shirt?
Balenciaga shirt? Look, like, you're just not... if you're in your right mind, I really don't think that an adult who has bills to pay, who has rent to pay, who's got, like, food that they need to... Like, all these basic items of survival, things of survival that you need to allocate your funds and your finances to, in your right mind, you're not going to go and allocate a big part of your budget onto these luxury, like, aesthetic items. Because, hey, let's face it, you're probably not going to be in the best financial status. And we can relate the same thing to your budget for your calorie balance and your macronutrient balance.
So what you're saying is that if I go and eat these, like, really fatty and sugary meals,
yeah,
that are, like, really high in calories, but they don't make me feel very full and they don't give me the actual nutrients that I need to perform at my best and don't give me the micronutrients and fiber and everything that I need for my health to be as good as it can be, that's not a good idea.
It's not a great idea if body composition and having the body of your dreams and wanting to be focused and energized is your goal. Unfortunately, that's not the best approach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how does the 80-20 rule, basically, that's, you know, as long as you're getting the right amount of calories for your goals, as long as you're hitting your macronutrient goals, 80% of the time eating unprocessed and healthy foods, that then gives you the freedom to enjoy pretty much whatever you want for 20% of the time. And it's seriously not going to be a big deal. These foods that fit into your 20%, you can just take that bad word, just get rid of that thing, just crunch it up into a ball and stomp it a couple times and throw it in the bin, light it on fire and get rid of it. Not a bigger deal. But then if you are over consuming calories and you're, let's say it's not 80-20, let's say it's more like 40-60 or like 20-80, 20% of the time whole foods, 80% of the time processed foods, it's highly likely that you're just not, like, hitting your enough protein, you're not having enough fiber, you're not getting enough micronutrients. Now, I still don't want to say that those foods are bad for you, but they're definitely on the overall context of your diet is unhealthy. And
that's it. It's going to actually put you in a position that's a little bit harder to like achieve your goals. You got to be really good at counting those calories and you got to really know what's like the amount of fat or calories that are in those fried foods. And if you're getting a lot of takeaway, it's actually really difficult.
That's it.
It's really hard to measure that.
This is another one of those like shitty things that like a lot of people are exposed to in social media. I have these like young people who are like, so your only job is to like look good. You're making so much money off social media that you just do that. And then a lot of time you'll end up posting a lot of very, very these highly palatable, highly processed foods. And you're like, look, I can eat this and I can stay absolutely shredded. Usually one of the things that you don't see from that message, number one, well, maybe their overall energy expenditure is actually insanely high and that's why they can fit that in. But for your current lifestyle, because you have a job, because you have kids, because you have X amount of things that you need to do in your life, it's just not feasible for you to do as much physical activity as this guy is doing. So that's why it won't work. Or the second option is that if their physical expenditure, their calorie expenditure isn't super high, then that means that for the rest of the day, they're like really having to dot the I's and cross the T's and count every single freaking morsel of food that goes into their mouth so that they can maintain that body composition just because they wanted to have that one really, really palatable meal that they can post on Instagram, right? So neither one of those things like sounds super good. It sounds like it just may not be the thing that's actually realistic for you.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And one more thing I'll say is that so many people are very surprised when they first start, when you first shift the like 20% healthy, 20% unprocessed whole foods and 80% processed foods, when you flip that into 80% unprocessed foods and 20% processed foods, people are so surprised of how much food, how much volume of food they actually have to eat on their plate, because it's just a reality, like you're gonna, these foods are going to be higher in volume and lower in calories. They're going to be higher in fiber, higher in protein. You're going to feel fuller and feel way more satiated and probably going to enjoy that 20% way more.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a beautiful, balanced, healthy life.
Yeah.
that sounds corny, but it's reality.
Yeah, this is the saying, Jocko Willink, I think was the first one who said that, discipline equals freedom. And it's just so true. Discipline for 80% of the time and having a plan that you can stick to gives you the freedom to then have flexibility for 20% of the time. But if you don't have that 80% in place, you're not going to get to enjoy the 20%.
Well said. So I guess from here, we've given you some actionable tools. The next actionable tool, the last one I would say, is just to continue working on your ability to track your food intake, understand where your calorie balance is, and yeah, just continue working on that skill of really how to include that flexible dieting into your lifestyle.
That's it. So as opposed to focusing on removing or adding this one specific thing, like adding this one particular good nutrient or vitamin or whatever, or removing this one little food from your diet and like just closing your eyes and hoping that this is going to get you to your goals. Sorry, it won't. You have to focus on the bigger picture. What kind of training program are you following? How sound is your sleep hygiene strategy? Your calories, your macronutrients? And then how do you actually turn these numbers into food on the plate? What are you going to buy in the supermarket? How are you going to turn those purchases in the supermarket into recipes that actually allow you to hit these principles but are actually tasty and keep you motivated to keep coming back and doing them for long enough so that you can actually change your body and get the body and the mental clarity that you wanted. That's what you need to focus on. And if you're ready to take action on this and you want our help in optimizing your approach, you gotta go to www.leanerstrong.com and leave us your details, and we book our first consultation, which is completely free of charge strategy call, where we cover on how we're going to get you started on the right track. If you found this episode useful, if you have any questions, would you please leave those questions, comments below. I would love to hear from you. If you found this useful, please share it with at least one other person who you think would also benefit from this information. Thank you so much for watching and listening. I hope that you have an absolutely fantastic rest of the day. This is Coach Peter.
Coach Teresa.
We'll see you in the next episode.